The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
And good morning to you. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan this week. And boy, did I pick a week to sit in on this show. Get in touch and let us know if you can make sense of the wildness that's in the air today. The text is 51551 and you can email Ryan at rte.ie. It's a squeaker. They were the words of Larry Donnelly, the Bostonian election expert on Morning Ireland at 6:15 this morning. And with that, off we go into a day which is helter-skelter, seat of the pants, nail-biting, nip-and-tuck, hold-on-to-your-hats sort of a day, and maybe days of it. The world just feels so nervous right now. It's like the entire world is just in its pyjamas and crying out for its mammy. And I had a bit of a moment last night when I was looking at the crisp, clear, cool skies of November, and there was a giant gibbous moon squatting low amid the sandwich of stars, and I started to believe in the much debunked myth of lunar-induced lunacy. And that was even before the US count began, because this was just the mood after watching those scenes in the Dáil last night, which are all over the papers today, obviously because the US election count hasn't quite made it yet, and we'll come back to that, don't worry. Right, but the incredible scenes where Taoiseach Leo Varadkar got to his feet to apologise for Leak Week, which I'm calling it personally. It's in the papers, as you say. And even though it was only, was it five o'clock yesterday? That feels like, you know, several episodes ago in the streaming series that is this new decade so far. What can I say? The back and forth was the interesting bit. It was kind of depressing. It was very, very gossipy. There was the very public unfriending of Leo's not bestie mate anymore. There was a bit of bitchiness. There were mystery screenshots, swearing even. There was a fair bit of innuendo on stage. It was like the Dáil was suddenly being written by the and produced by the makers of Clueless, Mean Girls and Mrs. Brown's Boys. That's how wild it got. And the most quoted line in the papers today is Leo Varadkar's definition of his friendship with Dr. Matthew O'Toole. Miriam Lord has it here, and she's referring to, you know, Leo was saying maybe the part of the problem, the story was that his doctor, friend, not friend, was over-egging his influence with the Taoiseach, or the Taoiseach as he was at the time. And the quote Mr. Varadkar says is, yes, we are friends, but there are friends and there are friends. We're not close friends. We're not best mates or anything like that. And as Miriam says, he may have thought otherwise, but he was over-egging the relationship. I mean, definition of friendship, that's kind of up on the agenda today. 51551 is the text. There was also the usual stuff on the Dáil. You had the traditional ceremonial Healy Ray meltdown, and the Dáil was suspended for a time. And I think a lot of people say player of the match went to Catherine Connolly, who delivered an absolute zinger when she asked the Taoiseach when he realised he had an error of judgment. And that had him floundering for the best part of a minute, really. But if it was a bad day for the Fine Gael leader, it was arguably worse for Micheál Martin, because for the second time in 24 hours, the Taoiseach referred to his coalition partner, who's the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, the real Taoiseach, referred to Leo Varadkar as the Taoiseach again. And then everybody started doing it. The Ceann Comhairle called Leo Varadkar the Taoiseach, the last Ceann Comhairle, Catherine Murphy, Richard Boyd Barrett, Matty McGrath. We believe there were six references in the Dáil. And as Richard Chambers from Virgin Media Television tweeted, Leo Varadkar has probably been called the Taoiseach more times than Micheál Martin has today in the Dáil. And to cap it all off, on the 9 o'clock news, the usually unflappable Micheál Lehane had to correct himself. He was about to call Micheál Martin the Taoiseach. So, you know, just another extraordinary day in a year which we never want to remember. And with that, we get back to the US election. We're going to be talking later on to some Irish folk over in America, Democrat-leaning, obviously. These are ordinary people. We've heard a lot of pundits already this morning. So if you are a Trump supporter out there and you want to get your voice heard, do get in touch, as I say, the text 51551, and you can email Ryan at rte.ie. Now, lots of people stayed up, obviously, overnight watching what was going on. I think they were probably like the cartoon people with the matchsticks holding their eyes open, matchsticks maybe soaked in double espressos. Jimmy Kimmel, the talk show host from ABC, his verdict on the whole election count was, this is like being awake during your own surgery. A lot of people, I think, can relate to that one. Amy O'Connor, who's always very funny on Twitter, she said, I thought I'd struggle to stay awake tonight until I remembered the CNN music puts you on high alert and makes you feel like you've had three Red Bulls and are about to do a driving test. That was the atmosphere overnight in this country. And some people, Sorka Pollock responded and said, except those moments of calm with images of whales and dolphins, they're pretty sleep-inducing. So CNN, to kind of calm things down, generally in their news footage, they have these 30 seconds of calm. And it sounds a little bit like this. And you imagine yourself trying to get through the election count and you're sitting at home in Ireland in the middle of the night. And along comes an image of a dolphin. And as Elaine Buckley from RTÉ Sport is tweeting, the vignette of dolphins gallivanting with a text caption of 30 seconds of calm at the end, not great for Irish viewers with the fungi situation still so raw. And that music just takes a completely different meaning on throughout election night. There you go. That was going on in the minds of the espresso matchstick in the eyes people overnight. Now, I remember the New York Times headline this day 4 years ago, and it was Donald Trump is elected president in stunning repudiation of the establishment. And so whatever happens in the coming days, I think we can safely conclude that there will be no stunning repudiation, that there has been no repudiation of Trump after everything. And Joe Biden is still the very narrow favourite to win the White House, possibly by late on Thursday, we think, maybe going to Friday. But it'll be so narrow that Trump, he could run again in 2024, or his son might. But overall, and a lot of the pundits are kind of coming to this conclusion now, it's just a divided place. And it's not like anyone's been duped into voting for Trump. He hasn't exactly been hidden from view or coated in slick political spin for the last couple of years. Everybody knows him by now. And yet they still wanted to vote for him. And that's where that befuddles us. But I think the most stunning confusion for a lot of people last night was the exit poll. And it showed that the coronavirus pandemic was third in the list of the issues that mattered most to American voters. The economy was number one, overwhelmingly. Second was racial inequality. And then third came the coronavirus pandemic, then crime, and fifth was healthcare. So we think we know America, and then we have to think again. Now, there is a news alert, major concession news just coming to us. Yes, Kanye West has conceded the US presidential election. Well, that's one out. That's one out. But he is going to run again in 2024. What has he done? Yes, he's conceded. He made it on the ballot in the end in 12 different states. I won't go through them all. And apparently it was his first time ever voting in a US presidential election. And he said he voted for himself, and he actually photographed his ballot in one of the states, Wyoming. But unfortunately, because he wrote his name on the ballot, he spoiled the vote. He spoiled his own vote running for president. If you're wondering, as I was, how many people actually ended up voting for Kanye? Because he did appear, as they say, in 12 states on a ballot. 50,000 people, that's who voted for Kanye in the end, across 12 different states. 0.3% of the vote. That seems kind of strangely higher than I would have expected. Anyway, that's what's going on now for the moment. All the predictions and all the polls were slightly wrong. Although if you look at the polls, they still showed knife edge kind of results coming in certain places. One thing I've been staring at are the needles on the New York Times. And you get addicted to these things because they do spin left and right. And you're kind of going, will Georgia slip into Biden there? North Carolina looks like it's heading for Trump. A lot of people pointing out it's an unfortunate term that it's called needles, since everyone being needled and it has all sorts of connotations. The text says, 51551. On my third coffee, says this texter, having grabbed 2 hours sleep before the rugrats sprang to life. I need a laugh and a lift to get me out of this from behind the cushions today. All the best, says B. John texts and says, this, make no mistake, is one of the most disappointing days of my life. The polls were way, way off. I woke up expecting a Biden landslide. Instead, we have the prospect of another nightmare. 4 years of divisive division, lying and bragging. Woe is me, says John. Yeah, lots of people feeling bad. But then there are lots of Trump supporters who are joining in and they're kind of going, yeah, A1 to that. And we heard his very belligerent speech there where he's claiming to have won. And he says that the voting should stop, even though the voting has stopped. Maybe he meant the count should stop. Who knows what he meant? But he's just saying this has been a massive fraud. If he doesn't win, it's a fraud. But think of happy places, think of happy things. The Scandinavians, they seem to do things well. And they say that corruption seems to disappear the closer you get to the polls, as in the pole, North and South Pole. Well, the Scandinavians, they have a way to tackle winter. So calm down, think of the CNN music and think of the dolphins. No, not the dolphins. Think of Scandinavian, how they, so their Scandinavian way of tackling winter. We all know about Hygge. Remember the thing a couple of years ago and all the beautiful hardback books that they were selling, H-Y-G-G-E, pronounced Hygge, which was all about coziness and basically lighting candles, maybe making jigsaw puzzles, mindfulness, fires flickering, and a big woolly jumper on you. We have kind of an Irish version of that. It's called the Aga, which is like, you know, you just lean against the oven and it eventually heats up your freezing jeans, because we're Irish and we were still wearing jeans in wintertime for decades. But anyway, the new thing from Scandinavia, which is coming here apparently, is friluftsliv. It's a philosophy first popularised in Nordic culture in the 1800s. And it's a word used by Swedes, Danes and Norwegians. It translates literally as fresh air life. And it's all about embracing the great outdoors, whatever the weather. Because people go, oh no, outdoors, you know, no, Ireland has the great indoors. But the Swedes, it's freezing up there in wintertime, and they go out with the lovely, you know, I suppose they can't they? Because just everything's so nice up in the Nordic countries, including their dramas and everything, which are dark, but in a nice way, nice cozy way. So people are embracing it, which involves going out swimming in freezing conditions, just going outside, dressing for the weather, embracing the winter, and looking after yourself. And that's a good message for today. If that's not your thing, and you want to sit inside and just pig out, well, Marks and Spencer have good news, because Percy Pig mince pies have just arrived in the shops in time for Christmas. Yes, Percy Pigs. I think it's a divisive confectionery myself. You know, I'm not a huge fan, but if it's the only bag of something in the house and you need sugar, you'll go for it then. Yeah, they look ludicrous. Percy Pig sweets stuck on top of a mince pie. And if it makes your mouth water, this is your thing. What are they flavoured? That's not actually a traditional mince pie. Apparently, Percy's face stamped on them. And instead of the traditional mince fruity part inside these pies, it is filled with Percy Pig flavoured jam. So you can go on to her.ie and Cassie Stokes will fill you in on everything that's going on there with regard to Christmas. What else had I on Christmas? Yes, I had in the Examiner. And this is a big tradition in Cork. It's called the Holly Bow magazine, and it's the Christmas tradition in Cork, and it has landed already. It's been going since 1897, and it's been launched, and it features all these kind of nice articles. It'll be part of the Friluftsliv. Well, it'll be more Hygge, wouldn't it? Unless you want to read it outside with a hat on, then it would be part of the Nordic Friluftsliv. Hollybow, it's on sale now. Kevin Barry, John Creedon, Maureen Quill are just some of the people writing that magazine. And it's a big thing in Cork, so we thought we'd mention Cork. So it's been a bad, very bad day for Micheál Martin, who's now right in front of a mirror saying to himself, who's the Taoiseach? Who's the Taoiseach? Who's the Taoiseach? I'm the Taoiseach. I'm the Taoiseach. Who's the Taoiseach? I'm the Taoiseach. That's right. He's the Taoiseach. Damn. It's been a bad day for a lot of people. Tony on the text 51551, 4 more years of WhatsApp jokes if Trump gets in. I don't know which is worse. That's Tony in Dublin. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter if he gets in at this stage. I mean, he's not going away. The vote has been strong enough that he is going to be there. There's been no landslide. The coverage last night where they spoke to lots of Trump supporters shows how partisan the regular coverage is by Irish and UK TV stations. Lots of people actually love Trump for lots of good reasons, but we never hear that on the news, says Roisin from Louth. Well, I don't know what you've been watching, but we're hearing lots of Trump supporters. And I was really amazed by the enormous rallies he had in the closing days. And they'll be analysed to see, would they be kind of, you know, would they have been the thing that swung places like Florida, which he won very well. Oliver, extraordinary achievement by Donald Trump. We were told he was going to lose by a landslide. Someone has been telling us porkies, says Patrick, also in County Louth, which is interesting because I think there was a Labour youth young fella who had a county's map of Ireland and he was colouring it in based on the counties he thinks would vote for Trump versus Biden. And he had Louth in as a Biden because Joe Biden has kind of ancestral roots in Louth and he visited up there. Ethan Mullingar says, I never really understood the term jaw-dropping until this morning, listening to the Republican woman for Trump on Morning Ireland. I think I'm still in shock. Right. Well, that's the feeling. There was an interesting back reference to Trump's speech this morning on CBS, And I think it's Nora O'Donnell is the anchor, which sounds she's a bit of Irish in her background there. And she said after Trump had kind of declared himself the winner, she used an interesting term. She said he was castrating the facts of the election. So it's just one of the many great lines that we're hearing all morning. There was another very good line because we know that the blue wall, which was that gang of Midwestern states that Trump tore down in 2016 and turned into a red wall. And now all the focus is on Michigan and Wisconsin and seeing what will happen there, because Biden could actually take those two states and win the election without needing Pennsylvania. Well, one pundit on CNN said, if Joe Biden can rebuild the blue wall, Donald Trump will pay for it. There we go. And we do have that clip now. Do we have Donald Trump? And this is what I was talking about. This is what he was referring to. And this is the thing you're going to be hearing. And it's kind of the defining soundbite from the Trumpian point of view on this amazing day.
For the good of this nation, this is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay? It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment. And we will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it.
We already have one. That's it. That's what we're facing in this November purge movie that we're living through. 51551 is the text number. ryan@rte.ie. Do get in touch. It's gone 20 past nine. Good morning. Fleetwood Mac. And that's a nice way to kind of settle back into things, isn't it? 51551 is the text number. ryan@rte.ie is the email. Now, I want to refer back to Siobhan Murray, who we're speaking to yesterday, the author, of course, the Burnout Solution. And she was discussing being 13 years sober and getting through lots of issues. And there was a really wonderful reaction. So I just want to bring some of it to you. Well done, Siobhan. I can identify with a lot of what she said in that wonderful interview. Almost 9 years ago, I too stopped drinking. I just made up my mind one day, but to help me, I made two rules for my husband. One, when setting the table for dinner, put out two wine glasses. And two, when we go out, remember when we used to do that? Always ask me what I would like to drink. Don't presume I will have tea or coffee. And guess what? It was and is still such a help psychologically. That's Maura. Thanks for your email there, Maura. An anonymous email then came into us and said, back in March, I was an occasional drinker. Living alone, though, I've been eating and drinking more. I've gained weight. I can't sleep without two or three pints now. It's causing me real problems, says that anonymous. And that really relating to what Siobhan was saying there. And we can't say it often enough, but the HSE support website, if you need to speak to someone, is askaboutalcohol.ie. Askaboutalcohol.ie. So if you're finding yourself, you know, as Siobhan had described to us, that way of becoming dependent on alcohol, and it has become such a huge issue in lockdown. Askaboutalcohol.ie. There is help and support there, out there for you. Brian, then, just one last comment on this. I'm making a health effort at the moment and started putting all my food costs into a spreadsheet. I put alcohol in a separate column. You can eat well on a budget, but if you have a couple of bottles of wine or a six pack of beer, wow, you can see how much alcohol costs as part of a total food bill. I spent €40 a week on alcohol, about €80 on food. At 40 a week, that's over €2,000 a year. It just makes you wonder, says Brian. Absolutely. So some good stuff there, and also some people who need help. So let's hope they go and get it. Now, the texts are still flying in. We're hearing lots of love from the Trump people and people who just are respecting the fact that there is Trump support out there. We are puzzled because we've only been listening to and watching one viewpoint, so we haven't been given the actual whole story of the US and, more importantly, how the American people are actually thinking. They don't hate him half as much as the whole rest of the world. Kevin is texting in from Belfast. He says he works in the States and I have people in my team who support Trump. Good, honest, hardworking people. After many years, I still don't get them. The rhetoric and abuse from Donald Trump is just obnoxious and dangerous. I guess I've concluded that he says and represents things that many Americans think but are not willing to say. Oliver, following on from the Trump declaring victory, I think Mayo can now declare that they've won this year's All-Ireland, says Eugene. Yeah, they could try that and then just go off on a couple of lawsuits. But yeah, thanks for the bit of a distraction there. We should say on Trump as well, it is about the economy. And people often just think about their own pocket and they may not even concentrate on what's gone on in the news. Anyway, it still goes on. We don't have the result. And on and on and on it goes. So we all need a bit of a break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. We'll take one last text on the US election. My husband Owen summed it up well this morning. If this was an episode of The West Wing, you'd turn it off because you think the writers had gone bonkers, says Emer Matthews in Kildare. And there we leave it all for the moment. Let's have a bit of a musical break. And we'll need music to get us through. That's Soda Blonde, great Irish band, and Swimming Through the Night. Another song actually of theirs, Terrible Hands, is well worth checking out as well if you need music to mind your mood. Well, that's all we time for. We have to go. But before we do, I want to acknowledge the many texts and contacts that we've got this morning from people who are remembering Gay Byrne today, the legendary broadcaster, because today is the first anniversary of his death at the age of 85. And we're thinking about his family and his friends this morning. That's it for today. Claire Byrne is next. We'll chat again tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.